This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is bonus episode 374. I'm your host Duncan McLeish. Welcome to the show. This is a special Saturday episode of Podcast Under the Stairs, coming in with an interview. I was incredibly lucky to sit down with Jack Evans, who is the founder of Unusual Horror, a clothing brand which started in the last couple of years and primarily does work on stuff for like metal and extreme bands, as well as dabbling its toes into the world of horror designs. Now, our whole kind of meeting of the minds came through a purchase of mine. Most recently, I picked up their limited edition Necromantic t-shirt, and Jack reached out and we've been chatting backwards and forwards, and it just seemed right that our interests align, that it'd be cool to have him on to find out what it's like in a part of the industry that we never really discuss, the idea of actually trying to establish yourself as a brand in horror when you're not making movies or working on set or whatnot. So the interview is a great one. It's about half an hour in length. I hope you enjoy it and I hope you jump across and check out Unusual Horror. The links to not only the website but the Facebook and the Instagram are in the show notes. Please go across, check out his stuff, and you know what I've always said, the best way to support the community is to do it with your wallet. So see if there's something in there. I can tell you, he is not sponsoring me to say this, but the Necromantic t-shirt is fucking boss, so there you go. So we are into almost the end of this week, and it's been a hugely busy week is an understatement. Once again, you've been getting an episode every single day this week. I promise it'll start to taper off next week and get into something a bit more sensible. But Monday through Thursday, you got roundtable episodes concluding our summer series. You're welcome. And then on Friday, yesterday, we kicked off Bazoween in style, that episode number one, dropping in hard and hot with Sleep Tight and Final Destination. Today's obviously your interview episode, and tomorrow is an Arrow video assortment before we switch into the first full week of October with a little bit of Bazoween episode number two. On that episode, we are doing Let the Right One In and Final Destination 2, so that is incoming. The Teapots Collective is grossly out of date, mostly because the summer series, guys, took over big time. So over the next 2 weeks, I'll be playing catch up, making sure all those shows are back on track. And the aim is by the end of October, everything should be back in sync, which would make me very, very happy. Trust me, my OCD is making my eyes twitch at the moment that I know there are episodes that have not been completed and put out on time. So that is all going to be rectified, ladies and gents. You better believe it. Right, let's do this, shall we? I'm going to take a very short break just now. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. When I return, I'm joined by Jack Evans, the founder of Unusual Horror, right after this.
Hello, this is The Doom Show. Keep on keeping on and keep on trucking, America. We don't listen to our feedback because we don't get any.
The truth hurts.
I just alienated the two people that give us constant feedback. Sorry, guys.
That's gotta go.
That's gotta go in there.
So on the show, we talk about giallo movies and slasher movies and cult movies. Sometimes we even talk about Cameron Mitchell and his movies. I am Richard. Who are you?
I am Brad, the guy that's not Richard or Jeffrey or Simon.
That's right. We have four people and we always talk at once, except to each other.
Jeffrey lives up north. Simon lives across the world. Richard lives in Penis, Alabama.
Hello, This is the Doom Show is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. Check out the other shows on legionpodcast.com. You can check out more Hello, This is the Doom Show at hellodoomshow.podomatic.com or at doommoviethon.com.
Check for our Amazon exclusive Hello, This is the Doom Show cookbook.
Do you like hot dogs?
We got them.
Do you like mac and cheese?
We got it.
Do you like cheddar?
We have it.
Actually, we don't.
No cheddar.
Just Colby. Colby Jack.
Hello, This is the Doom Show. We never gave up on you because you never gave up on us.
Wow.
And welcome back, ladies and gents. So it is my distinct privilege and pleasure at this time to introduce to the podcast Under the Stairs for an interview that we don't often get to do. We speak to directors, we speak to other podcasters, obviously, sometimes the occasional producer, but it's not often that I get to speak to other people that make a living in the industry itself as a whole. So, like I say, it's a great privilege and pleasure myself to bring you the founder of the Unusual Horror web store, one Mr. Jack Evans. How's it going, Jack?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you very much for the introduction.
I know, it's a pleasure to have you here. We've kind of got in touch recently because you released a Necromantic t-shirt. And yeah. I'm the sort of guy that will wear a Necromantic t-shirt. So that's, I was like, this right here makes me very happy. I suppose up front at the top here, it's probably just worth kind of digging into what Unusual Horror actually is. Can you give us a bit of background, how long you've been doing it? How did you get involved in doing kind of horror screen print art and t-shirts and stuff?
Yeah, so I'll go back to kind of the start of the Unusual Horror brand itself. So Unusual Horror is kind of a brand that I've been fronting for about, I think it's probably been about 7 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it originally started out as just a Facebook page, because I've been doing like social media stuff for the longest time that I can remember, probably since back in 2010, 2008.
Oh, yeah.
So I started Unusual Horror as a Facebook page. I had a couple of other friends that were kind of building horror related pages at the time, and we were just kind of like helping each other out. And I think it kind of slowly started growing, and it got to a point where some of the content that I was posting just started like blowing out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about like posts being seen by hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And it just absolutely took off. Fast forward to around 2016, 2017, the original Unusual Horror Facebook page hit 1 million. Worldwide followers.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that I ever thought would happen, and like the kind of popularity was absolutely unbelievable. So I started contacting kind of companies around at the time, specifically HorrorCon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horror convention in Sheffield, did a sponsored run of one of their festivals as Unusual Horror. I learned quite a lot about the kind of local scene, kind of wanted to put all of my time into putting back in, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2018 came around and the page disappeared. I no idea why, still never got a response back from Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just one of those. The page literally just got taken down. No responses, no acknowledgement, nothing. So immediately just tried to start hitting things back up, get things back up and running. But the momentum just wasn't as easy.
Mm-hmm.
These days as it used to be back then. Got it up to about 20 or so thousand followers in about 2019. And I started like trying to plan for something else, something different.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a pretty big fan of like music. I'm a big fan of like heavier sides of metal.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about this off air. I do a metal podcast as well, so.
Oh,
those things go hand in hand.
Oh, it really does. It really does. So about halfway through 2020, I started to think like thinking about all of these like designs that I have, like my friends' bands releasing these amazing pieces of merch, and I just. They just struck me like I just want to be able to tap into both of them, mm-hmm. into metal and to the horror side, and it is the perfect collaboration. It is the perfect kind of thing that will work together. Mm-hmm. So I thought, why not give it a try? Got hold of an artist that a friend of mine had used at the time, and he sorted me out a logo and the first design. That I'd released as Unusual Horror, the Friday the 13th Jason inspired mm-hmm. one, and that just the response that got just blew me out of the water. I did not expect something that a project that was so personal to me for such a long time had people so close by, people within the UK as well that wanted to buy it really. Mm-hmm. It just blew me away. And I started putting more and more of my own time and my own money into things, just trying to get a consistent pattern of releases coming out, pumping God knows how much into advertising to mm-hmm. get it to the position that it is now. And it's just getting to the place now where I was at a gig last night in Sheffield and bumped into somebody wearing my merchandise.
Oh, amazing.
It was the same a festival that I was at a few weeks ago. Just seeing people in the wild, it is something that I don't think I'll ever be able to fully understand. It's unreal. It's very, very, very surreal.
So basically, you're the kind of testament to kind of organic approach. So you've like built this from instead of starting with I want to do like horror merch T-shirts and. And that as an end product, you've kind of essentially created a craft navigating social media, and then ultimately kind of went on this journey through that to end up where you are just now. And what's interesting about what you're saying is, I think when you're talking about specifically those groups of people, those people that love specifically live music on the heavier side, and those that are into horror, we do have a tendency to really like to make sure everyone is aware that we are into metal and into horror. And yeah, that usually takes the form of like T-shirts and clothing. So to me, it kind of feels like, oh yeah, that's a no-brainer. But I mean, I wouldn't know how to even begin to start to pick apart something like that. So I mean, how easy is it, and this may be like a something to put that out there to listeners, how easy is it to actually set up a clothing brand? Because in principle, we all sit there going, oh, you know, I've got ideas, I could get them on thing. And then you go to something like a Redbubble, which will overcharge you and pay you very little, and the quality isn't that great. You know, how easy is it to start?
I might be oversimplifying what I do, but I found it quite easy to get the thing in. And I think that's because I'm sitting from a very privileged position of knowing people that are in bands that talk to artists individually. So I started out getting reference from artists, and it just got to a point where being in quite a lot of different communities inside of the music scene, these artists make themselves known so easily. Mm-hmm. And it just got to the point where I've got like 10, 20 artists just at my doorstep that I can easily get hold of. I think for starting a clothing line, if you're like me and you don't have any artistic abilities at all, then it is really a case of just getting stuck in and trying to find people that can work with this sort of thing. The aesthetic that I have with obviously like the horror and the kind of like brutalist look, there is hundreds of artists out there, absolutely fantastic work from a large amount of them as well. And so from there, as soon as you've got your art that you like, as soon as you've got something that you want to do, because I've always kind of lived by, don't print something you don't like.
Yeah.
Don't, like, if if you're going to print something that even you wouldn't wear, you're probably not printing the right kind of thing. And from there, again, in a very privileged position of knowing people in bands that print their own merch, I got passed over to a company called Pins and Knuckles. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic group of people. They are. I will shout them out to the end of the earth. They do the printing and fulfillment. Well, dispatching the orders, the stock over to me. Yep. And I think the thing that I love the most about them is that they do the oversized prints. Because mm-hmm. Obviously, most of them conventionally over only really do chest print areas.
Yeah.
But as I'm sure you've noticed with the Necromantic t-shirt, straight top to bottom, more or less.
Oh yeah, well it has to be. Yeah, you know, from my point of view, there's not like if you're gonna be bold enough to wear like a t-shirt about corpse fucking, it needs to be all over the t-shirt or
100%.
What are we doing? You know what I mean?
No point otherwise at all. I think, and then just. Really, the rest of it through then, with starting the brand, was just straight aggressive determination. Mm-hmm. Blind determination, definitely, but I, like the age-old quote, Rome was not built in a day. You really do need to push forward with these things. You really do need to put your money where your mouth is, and yeah. I completely live by the saying that you can't make money without spending money. And doing something like a clothing line is very much a put your own money in.
Well, yeah, most kind of startup businesses in general typically lose money for the longest time until they start making money. And I think that can be quite daunting to people that just expect like kind of overnight to be rich.
That doesn't happen. No. Just it does not happen. I mean, I've been going for a year so far and it's still 90% of what I'm putting in is my own money.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with that. I'm comfortable enough to be able to do that just to get people to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to take the approach that I have. I want to put in as much as I can do to really push it to the next level.
Yeah.
But even just doing like one release limited to 10 to 25 t-shirts every 6 months, even just that, the amount that you need to put in is so much less.
Yeah.
And it's still reminding people that you're there, and it gives people a sense of support. It gives people a sense of they are getting some really, really limited pieces of what could end up being history.
Yeah.
Which people love.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so awesome.
Yeah, that's more or less it. Just if you want to do it, just jump in. Is a fantastic journey to take, and honestly, I don't think it ever really felt real until I saw people, bumped into people,
yeah,
wearing my merchandise. It was honestly so surreal.
Phenomenal. So obviously you mentioned a couple of horror icons there in the conversation, a Jason, a little bit of Freddy, and we've obviously mentioned that Necromantic is the new kind of limited run of t-shirts that you've just put out. I suppose as a fan of horror, and it sounds like for quite some time, what got you into horror, and what kind of horror do you like? Is there a specific subgenre that scratches that inch? You know, are you a slasher guy? Do you like those kind of more artistic, quote unquote, prestige horror movies, or are you a jack of all trades? You know, give me a horror movie, and I'm a happy guy.
I think I will more or less watch anything, yeah. But I think I do have my preferences. I think the longest preference that I've had would be towards home invasion.
Ah, movies. Nice.
Just because it's more of a realistic element to a degree. I'm a huge fan of Asian horror movies, specifically Korean and Japanese. I just absolutely love them.
Nice.
Big fan of artistic horror movies as well. Obviously quite a broad subgenre, the arty horror. But yeah, there's some fantastic ones in there. And starting to recently become a fan of the more incredibly extreme side, like the August Underground kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I just like that there's no real limitations on cinema. Yeah. It's very much out there, and a lot of it's messy, but it's fun to see new directors getting up there, and again with these limited DVD runs and limited Blu-ray runs, they're really getting a cult following, and I love that. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, it caters to, like I said before, as a community, like very much like you were saying about putting your money where your mouth is. Like as a community, we pretty much do the same. We try and go and see the movies when they're in the theaters. I can't imagine that everyone that's into rom-coms does the same. You know, like
horror is a very, very, very like forward-driven
community.
It's very much a, if you want something, you do it. If you like something, you love it. And it really is like a completely forward moving. And I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm here for it forever.
Can you remember what was maybe the first movie that you thought to yourself, oh yeah, I like this. This is my thing.
First horror movie that I saw that, I don't know about first.
Yeah.
Probably quite a long time ago, but I think the thing that really solidified my kind of love for horror, and it was quite a bit later on, so I tend to watch them every now and again, but it wasn't really a time dedicated kind of thing. I didn't really put all of my effort in until 2009 when The Collector came out.
And
as soon as I saw that, being a home invasion movie, I was obsessed.
I was like
oh my god, what else is there? I can't believe that something so like raw and at the time like so different had come out, and I was honestly obsessed. And I just spent then just trying to delve in to find as many ones that kind of itch that spot. And I think it was from there, so yeah, about 12 or so years ago, that I really just full focus. Absolutely loved it every day from there on.
Yeah, you'll be one of the people that is continually frustrated about that third Collector movie, which we don't know if it's ever going to see the light of day now. I think
Bloody Disgusting did an article on it a few months back saying that it's not going to happen, or that it's just once again being indefinitely delayed. But yes, it is very, very, very frustrating. I want that third film.
Yeah, it's nothing worse than when you get told there's like, you could probably live at the end of the second movie knowing that's the second movie, but when you're teased with the potential of a third movie, that's when you want it. You want it now. And I mean, that's fair to say for sure. I suppose as well, on top of that, you mentioned like the Asian horror, which I'm a massive fan of, specifically South Korean cinema is just a different level.
It is, and I think the thing that I love the most about it is that they don't delay with storytelling. Like the vast majority of Korean movies specifically are like 2-3 hours long, and that's because they put so much time into story. They put so much time into plot and character development that by the end of the final payoff, you know everything about it.
You're invested as well. You know, you actually want to see characters survive, which can be 100%. Difficult 100%. In Western horror movies for some reason.
Yeah, I think Western horror movies, especially recently, are just trying to go for the scare factor as anything else, whereas Asian horror movies, and this can be proven time and time again with things like Train to Busan, the new TV show Squid Game.
Yeah,
like they are still putting the time into storytelling. They are still putting the time into making sure that you know these characters. It's not just throwaway people left, right, and center. You actually get a story behind them, and I love it.
Yeah, I think it's like I say, it's one of those things that it surprises me more and more when I find a Western movie that does that sort of stuff. It's a kind of just an expectation now that if it's a South Korean horror movie of any shape or size, they're gonna do their due diligence here to make sure that characters feel three dimensional. Also, the way they mix, like when you sit and watch a South Asian horror movie, it's not just a horror movie. You know, they will inject emotion in there, comedy, drama.
100%.
Kind of seamlessly, and that to me is good storytelling. Like if you go and see, to kind of link it back to a band, if you go and see a band live, yes, there are like brutal death metal bands that only have one tempo, and that tempo is punch you in the face from start to finish. But the majority of the kind of the metal live sets you see, you have to have bits that take you on a journey. Like the songs they play live are picked specifically as a run order to take the listener through a journey. And a movie is supposed to do the same. And I feel at times, especially with larger blockbusters, and it's certainly not all of them, but larger blockbuster Western horror movies are designed like you say. It's the how many scares can we cram in a movie? And that comes at the detriment to good storytelling. And a good story, you're sitting around a campfire, someone's telling you a story about something, it has to make you laugh, it has to make you smile. If it can get you crying, that's amazing. And if it can, you know, get some scares in there as well, all the better. It's, you know, storytelling should never be one-dimensional. And I think they've got a long history of it. Like, even in Japan with no cinema, they've got this whole idea of, you know, just crafting clever stories that actually fulfill the brief. And it's no surprise to me that when they turn their attention to horror movies, they just seem to do it instantly better. Their cinema in general is just like very, very, very good. It's just a really high level.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how, like, year on year, month on month, decade on decade, there is not a shortage of bad, not a shortage of good, solid Asian horror movies. Yeah. It is a genre in itself that will never cease to thrive. I do not remember a single year where there hasn't been an absolutely superb Korean, Japanese horror movie that has come out every single year. Like 2019, we were blessed with the absolute glory that was Parasite. That film just turned everything, flipped everything completely 180, 360 degrees, and nobody expected it. Mm-hmm. And it went on to win amazing awards around the world.
Yeah.
And it's just proving again that Koreans, Japanese, when it comes to horror, just do it better.
I remember that as well, where people were like, oh, I've never heard of this Bong Joon-ho and what that. He's literally been making movies for 20 years.
Yeah, like, literally.
They're phenomenal.
Movie's great.
Yeah, but there's an excitement in that there as well, where you get that, you know, people then start to be like, well, I'm going to check out what else this guy's done. And then you're like, oh, you've got, so, like, wait till you sit down and watch Memories of Murder or Mother. Oh, yeah. And, you know, these movies are going to destroy you. They're incredible. And that's brilliant as well. But I feel we get that as well nowadays. And you mentioned earlier on about, like, studios releasing kind of limited runs of Blu-rays or DVDs or whatnot. We get that as well, where you get the kind of bespoke boutique labels that'll do like a kind of, we're going to do like 200 copies of this, you know, very difficult to find Italian giallo movie. You know, it was like, and you get the interest in there and you buy into that. And then before you know it, like the fact that like a subgenre like giallo in general, which is one of my favorites, has become so popular, like that people, like if I'm talking to like film fans and I mention the word giallo, they know what that means, whereas like a decade ago, no one knew what it meant.
It's the Arrow video effect.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I think that's awesome, because like I say, it starts conversation, you get people interested in the movies of Fulci or, you know, Martino, Argento, Bava. You know, these things are very, very exciting. And you can start seeing people's tastes adapt, but not only that, see how when they watch a newer movie, they go, oh, right, that's totally influenced by Argento. Whereas in the past, you know, maybe those connections, and they don't always have to be made, but maybe they're not there. I have to ask because it always makes me smile when I find out the answers, because I always think I know, and then someone's like, no, you're totally wrong. Do you have a favourite horror icon?
Icon?
Yeah, icon. Ooh. Icon killer. So like a Jason, a Freddy, Leatherface, Pinhead, Jigsaw. Do you have a favourite?
I think, I don't know about a favourite. Mm-hmm. I think Freddy has, like, kind of historically been like a comfort character.
Yeah,
I kind of grew up with the Nightmare on Elm Street films. Same with Saw. Jigsaw, again, another quite prominent point in my life. I think as like a cool out there character, probably Pinhead.
Nice.
I don't really have one, to be totally honest with you.
That's a good answer, because what you're doing is you're preempting the people coming back saying he's wrong.
I don't think I have a single one. I love each of them individually for completely different reasons. If I had to choose one, it'd probably be closer to Pinhead, just because the absolute like brutal aesthetics are fantastic.
Oh yes. I'm keen to see what they do with the kind of reboot and the fact that they're going in line with Barker's original source material. So Pinhead will be a woman because in the original novel. So like, I'm interested to see where they go. But I like, if you excuse the pun, I don't know how many times people have tried to take a stab at doing a Hellraiser movie, and to varying different degrees of success. I will leave it that way. That sounds nice without being dismissive. So let's swing it back to like Unusual Horror. At the moment, like I say, you have you've just released a Necromantic shirt, which I can attest. I'm wearing it tonight to a horror board game night, and I'll tell you right now, I have tried it on, and it is fucking lush. I may have performed a little Buffalo Bill in the mirror saying that I would fuck myself wearing it. But I mean, who doesn't when they get a new t-shirt? So you do, like, so you have your kind of staple logo kind of stuff, which you mentioned before, which if anyone's into kind of more extreme kind of death metal stuff, it's done in that fucking amazing font that I absolutely love. But you've also done these limited runs, and they do sell out. So this isn't I'm going to do a limited run, and then I'm just going to pull it from the website if it doesn't perform well. These things sell out, and they trend really well, because that's ultimately how I first come across your site, was because someone on my group page on Facebook was like, "Holy shit, a Necromantic t-shirt!" I was like, "I will own that." That's not because I love the movie. I'll be honest, the movie's fun, but I don't love it. But I was like, I'm not aware of anyone else that's doing that. So that's your current one. What can we expect from Unusual Horror in the future? Anything that you're currently kind of circling the wagons on, design wise, that you can tease us with, or is it all very hush hush?
I think there's some that I can very easily talk about in probably a broader sense, but there's two designs that I'm going to be bringing out on hopefully around October the 11th. Nice. So I'm bringing them as designs to take to Grimfest, the horror movie festival in Manchester, because I'm setting up shop there, so getting more stock in, so new designs, and then whatever's left over from Grimfest will be going up on the site. There's one of the two is very, very brutal. It's very inspired by 2000s deathcore death metal bands, which is one that I've had the design for about a year, and I've been so excited to drop it. And the other one is a very stapled kind of like Baphomet, satanic-esque goat. That nice. Another one that I've been very excited for a while as well. So hopefully those will be out around October the 11th. And then I have actually finally got around to doing it, starting to do collabs with bands.
Oh, nice.
So just hoping to finalize details at the moment on two of them, but I'm hoping to do a run of licensed kind of band collaborations, depending on timescales, things getting approved, hopefully around November to January kind of time.
Excellent. It's a busy guy. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, there's no downtime doing stuff like this.
You're on social media and you have a website. People can buy directly through there. And if you keep up on top of what you're doing on your social media, particular things like your Instagram and stuff, they can see your new designs as and when they're popping up. Yeah. Give us the deets. How can people jump across after this and check out your merch?
So I think the best places to keep up with are Facebook and Instagram. I put most of the new content up on there. So that is at Unusual Horror Store for the both of them. And the website, obviously, is store.unusualhorror.com.
Nice. I will include the links into the show notes for this one. Before you go, Jack, is there anything still to come out this year you're excited to check out? Is it the Halloween movie? Because I get the feeling everyone's like, "Give me that Halloween movie, give it to me now." Is there another one out there maybe that you're interested for?
Yeah, definitely the new Halloween film. I think it's definitely something up there. I'm not sure about other stuff really. I like to be surprised these days. I'm still spending most of my time obsessing over noughties, Korean and Japanese horror films. So anything that comes out. Exactly. anything new that comes out, I'll more than likely check it out. I'm not too great at following upcoming, but I'll probably check it out regardless if something new is coming out.
That's brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining me. Go check out his stuff, buy his clothing, because the best way to support someone is by putting your money into it. Jack, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to take my final break of this episode. When I come back, I'm closing out the show and I'm doing it right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been bonus episode number 374, a special interview with Jack Evans of Unusual Horror. What a bloody nice bloke he was. Now, ladies and gents, like I said before, the best way to support this man's brand is to, at a minimum, go across and check it out. But pick yourself up a t-shirt, wear it proud, and at the same time, you're supporting someone who is giving something back to the community. If you want to offend your friends and relatives, I recommend that Necromantic t-shirt, which I've been wearing over my birthday weekend because I turned 40 this week. And there is absolutely no better way to celebrate your birthday than wearing a t-shirt about corpse fucking. That's a true story, ladies and gents. I'm sure it's an age-old Celtic saying. Maybe. I don't know. The links to not only his website, his Facebook and his Instagram are all in the show notes. Please go across and check out Jack's stuff. Bloody nice bloke. And hopefully we'll have him back on somewhere down the line when he has more shit to sell. I think that's a cool thing. I look forward to one day bumping into him on my travels. There's a multitude of ways to check out podcasts Under the Stairs. Wherever you're listening to us right now, hit subscribe. That way you get the shows as and when they drop and access to the entire back catalogue of Teapot's content. But do not, ladies and gents, do not stop there. Why would you want to stop there? Don't stop there. Subscribe to our sister feed, the Teapot's Collective. Now, like I said in the intro, Teapot's Collective has been sorely neglected in September, but will be making a return hardcore stylee in October when, you know, I have all that free time that happens to me in the busiest month. It's going to come back. It's going to come back in a big way, in an exciting way. You can check out shows like Where to Begin With, Opera Omnia, Doing the Nasty, and Chronicle all over on the Teapot's Collective. Subscribing to both Teapot's Collective and Podcast Under the Stairs is the best way to support what I do under these stairs. You can, of course, jump across to our website, and the links to all the shows are there, as well as a link to a special, special secret show. It's teapotscast.com to go over, and you'll find Jaws is Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts, a booze-based banter podcast featuring myself, The Baz, and Scott and Liam from Scott and Liam vs. Evil. We recently had a romantic evening playing the Evil Dead 2 board game. It was over a year and a half since we'd seen them. I think Baz reckoned it had been closer to 2 years for him since we'd all sat down, and we man-crushed, as you can imagine, four sexy, hairy Scotsmen would. If you are interested to hear what our conversations sound like when we get together, Jaws is Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts is about as close as you will ever get to being in a room with the four of us whilst we've been drinking a lot. We drink far too much. We talk about regrettable life decisions, of which we add to weekly because we're arseholes. You also get to hear us read out listener emails and discuss weird news stories from around the globe. Jaws is Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts can be found exclusively at teapotscast.com. If you're on Facebook and you want to interact with me, facebook.com/groups/teapotscast for the podcast Under the Stairs, facebook.com/teapotscast for the Teapots Collective, and facebook.com/groups/regrettable pod gets you Jaws is Shite, Another Regrettable Outburst. That group page is taken off in a nice, satisfying way for me, in that there's tons of horrible fucking stories getting posted over there. It makes me laugh every time I log in. So yeah, please, please, please do that. Interact if you're on those media platforms. If, however, you are one of the users of the twin prongs of social media sexiness, Instagram and Twitter, you can reach out and interact with myself and the Baz over there. Both of them, we can be found at Teapots Cast. Couldn't be any easier than that. Podcast Under the Stairs will return for you tomorrow, ladies and gents, with a little bit of that Arrow video assortment. But until then, wherever you are, what the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.